Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. Now, before you dive into today's episode, I did want to share a little disclaimer. Monica, our beautiful guest on today's episode, is a fertility health coach. And so in the beginning start of this podcast episode with her, she does speak on infertility and her struggles with it and how it is something that she works with her clients. I did want to let you know, just so that if this is a trigger for you, you can hit skip and go to another episode. But for those of you who would love to stick around, then here we go. Today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I am very excited about the guests that I have for you today. So Monica, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. So I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself, what it is you do, and I guess the business that you have.
Yeah, so I am a holistic functional fertility health coach. I am mom to two beautiful baby boys after almost a decade of infertility. And I have really combined my passion for motherhood into my struggle to become a mother to really help other mothers become conscious mamas. Whether that is if they're dealing with fertility issues and not having a child, or I get a lot of secondary infertility clients as well. And I'm just here to basically show you how you can get and stay pregnant when the doctors are telling you you can't.
I love this so much, because I know that this would be very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. But for me personally, I have a few people in my life that, you know, have struggled with their fertility, and just the fact that there's somebody out there like you who is offering something to help support these women, because I mean, not just women, I mean, men too, you know, it's a journey for both parties, both people involved. And so it's just such a journey for people. And I think the fact you've walked in those shoes, you really can understand and relate to those people that you work with.
Yeah, 100%.
So where did your business journey start?
So finding fertility really started when I got pregnant naturally after 8 years. And my first son is IVF. I went through multiple rounds of failed IVF, miscarriages, years of fertility treatment. And as I slowly pieced together what actually my issue was and how to reverse it, and then it actually worked, because I was doing this at a time where fertility health coaching just wasn't even a thing, really. It wasn't very Googleable. Instagram wasn't invented. TikTok wasn't around. And when it happened, I have to be honest, I was really pissed off. I was really mad that there was answers and were ways that I would say 99% of women dealing with fertility issues could take control of their health. And it just wasn't available. And your doctors definitely weren't telling you these things. And in my case, and a lot of my clients' cases, they're telling you you can't, or it's made up science, or it's not scientifically proven, you know, things like that. And so I just decided that this was kind of my calling in life. And because I had worked with kids for 20 years previously, I kind of felt like this was my way to actually really support children by giving them conscious mamas.
Oh, I love that so much. I think it's always interesting when you have doctors or healthcare professionals telling you this is how it is. you know, this is how it is. These are your only solutions and that is it. And it's very, very black and white. And it's always interesting to me because we hear so many times of people who, you know, one of my friends in particular, she did IVF for her first two children after many years of struggling herself. And then years later, surprise, baby number three's come along and totally shocked them because we were told we weren't meant to have children. You know, even me, yeah. Myself, I had a cancer journey many years ago and was told I would never have children. I have two, you know, like,
yeah.
It's always interesting. And I always think what you do is so inspiring for people because it gives people hope. It gives people there are other options available to you. And here's something that you can try.
Yeah. And I don't even know why we're setting stuff in stone. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why that has to be a thing or why medical professionals feel so confident in saying that to people, because the fact of the matter is, even with all the medical information that they have, they're like completely wrong, like so far wrong. And I don't know if it's they don't want to be this like quote unquote false sense of hope for people, but hope is the driver of change. If you didn't hope for a better outcome for your life, you literally just wouldn't get out of bed. So it's just kind of a weird mess up system where it's all about treatment. It's not about prevention. It's not about, you know, even true health. And it's going to take a lot to change it, but I'm really hopeful that it will happen because people are waking up, you know, like I did. And because of my infertility, I had to do a lot of deep digging and dark nights of the soul in all aspects of my life. And when you start looking at these things and start getting real with yourself, you do start making very conscious choices about the things you buy, about how you live, how you travel, how you run your business, you know, all aspects of your life. And for the most part, it doesn't fit into this like Western model that a lot of us are for most of our lifetimes have been oblivious to. So I think the more that we become conscious, the more we start making better decisions for ourselves, for our mental health. And that just doesn't work for the typical 9-to-5 hustle culture.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? I feel like, you know, healthcare professionals are very focused on body. And of course, mm-hmm. they need to be, you know, there's a place for Western medicine. There's a place for our medical professionals, of course. But we are more than just body. We are mind, body, and spirit. And so there's so many more elements that we need to dive into. And I think, you know, it's something that needs to be spoken on more. And I think with what you're doing, it's just amazing work. And so how do we become more conscious?
So you got to just be radically honest with yourself, which is not what easy. A lot of people don't want to do, you know? Yeah, it's not easy because it's all self-driven. Right. I think while a lot of us just went with these models is because it took all responsibility away from us. We didn't have to think about the things. We didn't have to hyper focus on things. Here's your medication. Here's your work schedule. Here's this. Here's that. Show up to school on time. Do your homework. And there, none of us really got taught how to really follow our intuitions. Learn from our mistakes, knowing that, you know, when we go off to do something, we might fail and that's okay. And failure is a part of life and how you learn and how you grow. So it's really the first step is, you know, getting real with yourself. And I usually say that people will do this when they're tired of their own BS. So when you're so exhausted of how your life has gone, for however many years, or how you've run your business, or how you've parented your children, or any health journeys, when you're just so exhausted of that, that's when you're open to the change and to start diving into what do I need? How do I need to start living my life?
And they're tough questions to ask yourself sometimes. You know, getting really real and honest with yourself is not as easy as it sounds. And that's where, you know, sometimes we need that bit of guidance or support or hand-holding along the way, because it's quite a vulnerable experience to go through, to really start questioning yourself and unpacking some of these thoughts you might have been having or feelings you're having, and, you know, how have I played a part in the life that I've created for myself? So it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And the thing is you got to take away the guilt first, right? You didn't choose to be in the position that you are, right? It was all very subconscious. And depending on your lifestyle, the way you brought up, where you are in the world, these all played a very important part of it. To sound very cliche, it's a lot of us, we're just sleeping through life, just like we were taught certain ways. And so we kept marching and we kept going. And that's why I say it's not until you're done with like that march that you are willing to, you know, do this self-realization. And so you have to take away the guilt, because it's not going to serve you, for one. You can't beat yourself up over it, right? That's not going to help the situation. You kind of have to accept it. And then you get to start choosing what you want to do to start making your life better. And for some people, it's going to be super radical. And they're, you know, they're going to wake up at 5 a.m. and, you know, they're eat this clean, you know, eating lifestyle, and like be a gym rat or like whatever it is, right? And then some people are just going to make different choices in the day. Okay, instead of sitting at my desk for 8 hours, I'm going to sit at my desk for 7. And that is perfectly okay, right? The key is to be consistent. So if you say one day you quote unquote fail, you cheat on your diet, you cheat on being on your computer too long, not playing with your kids enough, you know, watching too much TV, scrolling on social media, just tell yourself, I'm going to do better tomorrow, and then do it. And then the next week when you don't do it, you tell yourself, I'm going to do it. And you just keep going and you just keep picking yourself up.
It's all about that repetition, isn't it? You know, it's not about perfection. It's that progress over perfection. You know, we can't do things perfectly. And when we're implementing something new, or we're changing habits or behaviors that have been so instilled in us, it's not something where we can just flick a switch and be like, okay, tomorrow my whole life's going to change. It is that slow one step, taking one step in front of the other. And, you know, slowly but surely, you start creating change. And then, you know, you get to a point where you look back and be like, oh my gosh, look how far I've actually come. Look at the change I've been able to create for myself. And you realize what a transformation you've been through.
Exactly. And, you know, we've been sold this fast lie, right? Lose 30 pounds in 30 days, you know, get rich quick, you know, make 10 grand a month, you know, in 3 months, and all these things. And the fact of the matter is that's complete BS for most people. And I would say that one of the key reasons that these things don't work for most of the majority of people, or don't have lasting results, is because of our subconscious beliefs, because we are stuck in this program that we didn't even know we were running off of. God, to sound really cliche, life is about the destination, you know, the journey, not the destination. And if you surrender to that, which is one of the hardest things to do, actually life is just so much more enjoyable.
That's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes we're so goal focused, we're so driven on this end outcome that we're wanting to achieve, that we forget to enjoy the moments leading up to that point. And even if you accomplish whatever thing it is that you're wanting to accomplish, if you haven't enjoyed the journey to get there, what was the point? You know, it's how can we make each day enjoyable? How can we, you know, bring joy to everyday moments rather than focusing on this end thing? And I think social media has a lot to answer for with this, because like you were sharing, it's like 10K months for business in 3 months. Like you said, you know, there's all these like shiny objects being thrown our way, and almost unrealistic expectations too. It's not to say that you can't get 10K months in 3 months. You probably can, but it's not always what we're being shown. Isn't always one realistic. It's not always true. It's not always accurate. Like, there's so many elements that are involved in this, and it can be really hard to, I guess, sift through it, can't it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know, for me in my journey, I definitely bought in like my entrepreneurship, right? And even my fertility journey, they are almost mirrors of each other, which is really frustrating, because I've like come to learn, I'm like, okay, my entrepreneurship is not going to be 8 years. Like I need to learn from my mistakes. But it is buying into all these quick fixes, right? And I, in both of my journeys and even motherhood, it is literally slowing down and really getting down to the root cause of why things aren't the way I want them to be, right? Not the way that the gurus think they should be. And yeah, just getting real with myself and, you know, like just a really hard smack in the face that I had to real. I've had a lot of them, but within entrepreneurship and being a working mom is that part of the reason that I started my business was to feel worthy from other people, right? And that is not a good reason to do anything in life. And so obviously I wasn't seeing the results that I wanted because it wasn't really coming from a full place, where the other part of why I started my business was because this information needed to be out there, right? I was the person to, or one of the people to start delivering this message from like a true heart-centered place. But there was other things that were like, well, if you're not making 10K a month, you know, 10K a month, you're not worthy. Or if you're not doing this, if you're not going viral, or if you don't have like 10,000 email lists, like you're not worthy. And that was like a really hard realization that I had to like be honest with myself of like, why are you doing this? Because you don't have to. You don't have to be here. And really working through some of that inner, you know, struggle of like being able to just show up because I want to be there, not because I'm seeking other people's opinions.
It's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes we have these expectations, don't we? And then when we don't measure up to them, it can be quite brutal, you know? And I think we've all experienced that in whatever part of our life it might've been. And that can be really hard. But I think what you said there, it's like, how do we want whatever it is we're creating, or the moment we are in our life, or the season we are in our life, how do we want it to feel, as opposed to what we want it to necessarily look like? And coming back to ourselves of, you know, what do I want from this? You know, what's my why behind the reason I'm doing this thing? And that can help you get through moments through where it's a little bit tough or it's a little bit difficult. But yeah, I think being able to trust ourselves is probably another key part of that as well.
Yeah. I mean, and this all stems down to like subconscious beliefs, right? Do you trust? Are you fearful? Do you have safety in your life? Do you have self-love? Do you have self-worth? And, you know, these kind of key emotions dictate a lot of the reality that you see in front of you. So, yeah, I mean, and I talk to my moms about this, like my potential moms. It's like, do you feel worthy of being a mom? You know, and a lot of people dealing with infertility issues, that's a tough question to ask, right? To yourself. So yeah, it's, you've got to be pretty self-aware.
And I guess if you are at that place where you have stopped and you've started asking these questions and you're like, I'm not liking my answers here, what is that very next step that you take?
Get a coach. Get someone who has like done this before. I mean, you can do it all on your own. You can read the books. You can, you know, do, you know, the freebies and all that. But if you're ready to blast through it, just get someone that can call you out on your BS. I mean, that's the key. I mean, the fastest growth that I've ever had on my entrepreneurship journey and mental and emotional health has always been with a coach. And then once you work with someone for a while, and I've had a few different coaches focus on a few different areas, you can be practicing those by yourself as well. And so when you get to a certain point, and that point can, I'm not saying there's like a specific in journey or a specific point you can do this, But all of a sudden you'll go, God, I got a lot of tools in my belt. I actually can do this on my own now. And every once in a while, you know, connect with someone who's willing to really help dig in a little bit deeper for you, because your ego is always trying to keep you safe. So any type of change is going to be harder for you to see than someone else to see, right? And even kind of a seasoned experienced person can still benefit from someone, you know, you can say one sentence and that person can just light up and be like, oh, well, did you dig into A, B, and C? And you can be like, whoa, I never even thought of that. So I think that would be my honest answer, is work with someone who can really get you through it. If you are like, okay, I'm just not ready to share these experiences, I know it took me a really long time. Just to give you a short example, I did an emotional freedom tapping session in a group setting. It was like super sporadic, didn't even know it was going to happen. Huge breakthrough. The universe showed me signs that this stuff actually really works. I didn't do another thing for a year and a half, because of like money blocks, emotional blocks, walls that I've put up, you know, like I knew that this stuff worked, but my ego or whatever you want to call it was like, nope, too scary. That's way too much change for you right now. The reason I pushed through it was one, my body felt so physically heavy. And that's kind of like a sign for anyone, is that your body you just feel so heavy, and it's all the emotional weight you're carrying, even though it's not like you can't see it. And I wasn't getting the results that I wanted in a lot of areas of my life, entrepreneurship, motherhood, my marriage, my friendships. And I was tired of my own BS. So I got out of my way and found another emotional freedom tapping coach and worked with him, and yeah, continue to like just expand. But just journaling is a really good technique. Just write down all the BS. I mean, obviously meditation, walking meditations, like anything to like get you out of your own head, so you're breaking the cycle of just that repetitiveness. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because I sat there for years just reading all the books, right? All the money mindset books, the entrepreneur, the funnels, the, you know, like all that. And even though I collected this wealth of knowledge, it wasn't actually shifting anything for me.
I love that you've said that, because whilst there's still value in books and resources such as YouTube and, you know, free trainings and free downloads, of course they're valuable, but I'm the same. You know, the biggest transformations that I've had has been having a coach by my side, having that mentor help really guide you. And I think when you work with a coach, it's so personalized to you and your own experience. And I think when you're working one-on-one in particular, you're able to be vulnerable and open up and share. And a coach is experienced because, one, they've probably walked in your shoes. They really understand and get you. But it's that opportunity to create that space so you can explore things that you might not have ever explored before, you know. And it's just such an interesting thing, I think, working with a coach, even as a coach myself, and you're a coach yourself, you know, we still need coaches. You know, you can't see your own stuff. You know, it's, we're equipped with the tools. We have the strategies. We, you know the work we need to do, but you just see it in a different perspective when it's yourself. You can't see certain things. So I think, working with a coach, I'm with you there. It's definitely beneficial.
Yeah. One of the lessons I've learned today, or this past like few weeks, is I do a method called Psych K. It's a very woo-woo method of subconscious mind work. And I have friends that are highly trained as well. And I went, and I'm trained in it, right? So, but I went and paid my friend $300 to sit down for 90 minutes and help me work out some of the crap that I knew there was something there, but I couldn't get to it. And just having were there asking me certain things, and you go down these rabbit holes. And then I had an opportunity to be another podcast where his whole podcast is calling entrepreneurs out on their own mental BS. And it was just like, you know, the universe was like, you need to sort this out, go on this podcast. And he completely called me out on something that I knew that was there. And my ego was like, nope, don't go there. I don't want to. You've done so much work. Like, do we really have to go here again? And to be brutally honest, what I've discovered is that your adult consciousness knows all this stuff. It can rationalize it. It can metabolize it. It's like, oh no, I know that, right? But what your subconscious is for most people until they do quote unquote the work is your inner child and what you were programmed with up until about 7, 8 years old. And that's still in the driver's seat. And it's such a harsh reality to be like, God, I'm still dealing with that. Because, like, come on, you know, and having to nurture that and change those beliefs for that little you inside of you. So just to give everyone this like massive heads up, because now I'm able, because I've, you know, walked the path, I'm able to go, hey, you want a quick fix? Your quick fix is going to do that hard work with your subconscious mind, whatever that looks like for you, because you're adult mind, you're smart enough, you know. But the reason you're not doing it or the reason you're not seeing the success is because of that.
It's quite an eye-opening thing, I think, for most people who haven't gone down the self-development path, the personal development path. Understanding your subconscious mind, how your thought programming works, all of these things is mind-blowing because it is one of those things where, you know, something that happened in your childhood is still impacting you today and you are potentially completely unaware of it. And it's these subconscious thoughts that we don't even realize consciously that we're having them until you start unpacking them. And so there's a lot to it. But I think one thing where you said about, you know, journaling, I think just creating that awareness of what are the thoughts that you're having? What are the things you're telling yourself? Because we have a lot of thoughts a day. And majority of them are completely on autopilot. We're not even aware of the thoughts we're telling ourselves. And majority of them aren't even true.
Yeah, 100%. And I know that your community is largely moms with, you know, entrepreneurship or businesses and stuff. And I would say if you haven't tapped into this yet, let your children be the mirror. When your children really push your buttons, that is exactly where you need to look. And that was a really big awakening for me, especially with my second child, because he's more like me, my side of the family. And geez, I've worked with kids for over 20 years. I have a degree in early education, like, and I thought I was going to have this motherhood thing down, right? Like, and my second son blew that out of the water for me. And because I was conscious and I wasn't perfect, I wasn't on this like higher dimension, you know, anything like that. I was just conscious, like, hey, I'm getting triggered really bad when he cries over not being able to touch the dog poop, you know, like, what is going on with me? What is this, right? And for long story short, just for everyone to hear, it was actually my mom and dad's anger that got projected onto me when I was a child, because I was told, stop crying when the whiner's not invited. You know, their frustration very much were inside of me for almost 40 years. And I didn't know that until I was triggered by my second son.
It's actually a fascinating thing when you become a mom. And you have these little children who do mirror back to you. It's one of those situations where I was the same. My second child is a mini me and he mirrors things to me all the time. And he has been a constant trigger for me in the best possible way. I mean, it shines light to something that I need to be aware of. And, you know, from that place of awareness, we can then create some change. But it is a process to actually recognize Oh, so that is why I act a certain way. That is why I behave a certain way. And then you're visually seeing it in your child. But that is where the work can come in and we can create that change. And I think too, arming ourselves with the tools that we need to work on ourselves, that in turn has such a flow-on effect for our children as well. Like as we as mothers can, you know, do the work for ourselves, that makes us not only better humans, better mums, but it enables us to help our kids a little bit more and help our kids navigate their childhood and things they are feeling and the way they're coping and all the things that come with, you know, parenting a child as well.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a buzzword right now, but it's breaking that generational trauma, right? And I do believe that every generation for the past, like, let's say 4 or 5 have done better than their parents have, right? Like my parents didn't beat me where my mom got beaten, you know, and who knows what happened to my grandparents, but like it all got better. But the trauma, because, you know, back in those days, like you didn't talk about your feelings, you sucked it up, you just got on with life. Well, you know how I used to be, like, you're so much better than me. I used to walk to school in the snow with no shoes, you know, like all those stories, right? I do believe the generations have got better, but because everyone is, the science basically is coming out that, you know, your emotions create into physical, you know, issues, disease, and, you know, all this stuff, that our generation, whether we like it or not, we get to be the cycle breakers in huge ways, right? And so, yes, it is hard when you have your little ones who are triggering the shit out of you. It is doable. It is definitely doable. And you just can't beat yourself up when you do something, quote unquote, that you wish you didn't do towards them. The good news is that you can shower them with love and explain why you overreacted or why you shouted, where our parents never did that, right? Like if we got it shouted on, they're like, good on you. Good. You deserved it. You know what I mean? So we can always reverse these things quite quickly within, you know, a reasonable way. Like I'm not here for parenting that you don't tell your child no and you don't set boundaries and you don't give the good guidance. That's not what I'm saying. But this more, I think just more, yeah, consciousness of parenting, of like, our kids are learning from us. So if they're, you know, acting certain ways, it's most likely coming from behaviors that they've seen, or maybe in their DNA, right? They, you know, if you get real woo-woo, like it's like slowly passed down, right?
Yeah. And I think coming at it all with love as well, because, you know, the things that we have picked up from our mothers and their mother and, you know, so forth, that generational cycle that has continued on with us, you know, everyone was doing the best they could with what tools they had, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fine line too, because when you become aware of all of these things, it's easy to look at someone else and blame, you know, I'm this way because of my mum, or I'm this way because of my grandmother and so forth. And it's being careful not to get into that place, because I think sometimes, you know, I've seen, you know, content put out there and things, and it's, you just got to be so careful, because everyone was doing the best they could with what they had, and just coming from that place of love and understanding as well. You know, we're all, as mothers, doing the best that we possibly can. Are we going to make mistakes? Sure. Are we going to do things that could trigger our children later in life? Potentially, which is a little scary, but, you know, we're just doing the best we can. And that's really all we can ask for.
Yeah. When you know better, you do better, right? Yeah. So I'm 100%, you know, positive that if our parents knew better, they would have done better. And now it's just kind of our jobs to, you know, get that information out there. We're ready to receive the message. That's great. You know, hop along. We're super excited. If this doesn't resonate with you, then it's like, that's perfectly fine too, right? Like everyone's on their own path.
That's exactly right. Oh, I have loved this conversation. I feel like I could talk to you all day about this. So I guess for listeners who are listening along and they're like, I really would like to, you know, find out more about the fertility. Perhaps they're struggling with fertility, you know, especially secondary fertility as well. How can listeners best find and connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm at Finding Fertility everywhere on the internet, social media, website, podcasts. So anyone dealing with all sorts of different types of fertility issues, we help you get down to the root cause and really start taking control over your health.
Oh, I love that so much. I will pop all the links in the show notes so you can easily go over and find you. And yeah, the podcast would be definitely a great place to tune into as well. So thank you so much for being here. I've loved chatting with you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I'm so grateful for you and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into this episode. If you love today's episode, then don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released.